Well, good morning. How's everyone doing today? All right. I see that the storm clouds and the thunder and the rain didn't stop you from coming to church. Amen. Even though it's gloomy outside, we have the sun, the S-O-N on the inside. Amen. Yes. Today, we're going to look at continue in the book of Acts at chapter 5. And on your bulletin, it has starting at verse 26. But we're going to expand that a little bit. Starting at verse 17. I know, yeah, don't want to, you know, scare you. It's a lot of passages. But if you have your Bibles with you, you can read along with me. Or I also have the pictures for the kids and those of us who don't feel like reading this morning and want to listen along to the Word of God. So Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 17. And it reads, "But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.' When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came, and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, 'We found the prison securely locked, and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside.' Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, 'Look, the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, 'We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us.' But Peter and apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.' Now when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, 'Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Judas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. And after him, Judas, the Galilean, rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, we will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God.' So they took his advice." The Unstoppable Movement. Now our text this morning comes from an interesting place. It actually starts with opposition. There's opposition between the council, the Sanhedrin council, and the apostles. And these two different parties, they have some history. They've had many run-ins throughout the Gospels and the book of Acts. You see, this is the same council that conspired to kill Jesus. This is the same council in Acts chapter 4 that put Peter and John into prison. And now this council is up to the old ways. They're doing it again. They're persecuting the church, and they are putting the apostles in prison. The Bible says that the Sanhedrin, or the high priest and the Sadducees with them, rose up, arrested the apostles, and put them in prison. Now, that's an interesting term that Luke uses here. He says that the high priest rose up. And when I think of that term, it reminds me of Saturday evenings when I was growing up in my house. You see, Saturday evening was the time when my mom would call her mother over the phone, which means I was left unsupervised. So I love Saturday evenings because while she was on the phone, I would use my bed as a trampoline. So while she's talking to her mom, I'm jumping up and down, having as much fun with unsupervised rebellion. And while she was talking, I was okay. But when she stopped talking and she rose up, that means I was in trouble. When my mom rose up, that means that she was fed up. When she rose up, that means she was about to do something about the situation. Well, the Bible says that the high priests and the Sadducees, they rose up. They rose up against the apostles. They were fed up with what they were doing. And it was about time for them to do something. Well, the question that we have to ask is, what did the apostles do to deserve this type of treatment? What law did they break? What crime did they commit? What evil have they done to cause the high priest, the religious leaders, to rise up against them? Well, the Bible says that they healed the people in Jerusalem, that they taught about Jesus in the temple, and that they and the Lord was adding to their numbers daily those who were being saved. You see, the apostles didn't do anything to deserve the opposition, except follow God and serve his people. And unfortunately, my brothers and sisters, that's standard for the course. Because whenever you are advancing the kingdom of God, whenever you are trying to do right, you can expect opposition. Jesus says, a servant is not greater than his master. For if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, that yea, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You see, whenever you're advancing the kingdom of God, you can expect opposition. But my brothers and sisters, don't take it personal when you face opposition, because the opposition is not about you. See, the opposition that the apostles were facing is because there is preaching in the name of Jesus. You see, the issue was not that they were preaching. The issue was not that they were healing people. The issue is who they were talking about. See, they were preaching in that name. They were healing sick people in the name. And worst of all, people were coming to believe in the name of Jesus. See, the opposition, my brothers and sisters, is not about you, but the opposition is about the name. See, a couple weeks ago, we learned that a name means something. The name of Jesus, it represents his person and his character. So when we say that we're a Christian, we take on all the stereotypes that come with that name. So don't take it personal when you mention the name of Jesus and people start to look at you a little weird. Don't take it personal when you say that you're a Christian and then people start to make fun of your lifestyle. Don't take it personal when you say that you're a Christian and then they expect certain things from you. Don't take it personal when you say that you're a Christian and they think that you're a pushover. Because the opposition that you face is not about you, but it's all because of the name. But not only the opposition that apostles faced was because of the name of Jesus, but the Bible says it was also because of the hearts of their enemies. See, the Bible says that the high priest and the Sadducees rose up and they were filled with jealousy. They were jealous of the apostles' influence over the people. They were jealous over their popularity that they had in Jerusalem and surrounding areas. They were jealous about how their numbers were growing and their church was getting larger and larger and even into the thousands. But brothers and sisters, we've seen this movie before. Remember back in Genesis, Abel was killed by his own brother Cain because Cain was filled with jealousy. David was pursued by King Saul because Saul was filled with jealousy. The Apostle Paul was persecuted by his own people, the Jews, because they were jealous over the converts that Paul had made. See, we may think that it's something that we did. We may think it's something about us, but sometimes it has nothing to do about us. Sometimes it's the other person's heart. The apostles faced opposition because of the name of Jesus and the hearts of their enemies. But the religious leaders have a problem on their hands, because despite the opposition, no matter what they're doing, the movement keeps growing. The name of Jesus keeps spreading. When they threaten them, they keep on preaching. They put them in prison, and then an angel releases them the next day. No matter what the council tries to do to the apostles, it seems that the apostles are growing bolder. And the question I want to ask us this morning is, why did the apostles become so bold? Well, one reason we can look from our text is that because they were obeying the words of their master. Verse 28 of our text says, "The high priest said to them, 'We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us.'" See, that phrase, "strictly charged," it comes from a Greek word, parangelia, which means to have a command, to give a command that you make someone obligated to obey. See, the council gave the apostles a command. They command them back in Acts chapter 4 not to speak or teach in that name. See, the council thought they had the authority. They felt that they had the authority to give them the command on how they should preach. They felt they had the authority to tell them what they can do and cannot do in the temple. They felt they had the authority, and the apostles were obligated to obey it. But Peter responded to the high priest and the council, and he said, "We must obey God rather than man." See, Peter was saying, "We submit to an authority that's greater than your authority." Peter is saying, when your command goes against our Lord's command, then guess who we're choosing? We're going to choose the Lord. See, the council made a command that was going beyond their jurisdiction. The council was putting authority upon themselves that they had no right to take on. See, my brothers and sisters, no matter how high the authority, no matter what type of government it is, no one has the right to get in between your relationship with the Lord. It doesn't matter whether it's a government or your job, a boss or a spouse, a relationship, even a hobby. Nothing has the right to interfere with your relationship with the Lord. But the apostles were bold against the high priest and the council's commands because they chose to obey God instead of the authority of man. But there's another reason why the apostles were bold. Because they knew what they were preaching was true. See, in verses 30 through 32 of our text, Peter says, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." My brothers and sisters, you can be bold when you know that you're right. So it reminds me, growing up again, when a teacher in our classroom would give us a question that we were kind of unsure about, the room was silent and no one was raising their hand. But let that teacher give a question where I know the answer about. I'm waving my hands. I have my hand stretched out. I'm even making sounds, ooh, 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 trying to get her attention. Because you can be bold when you know you have the answer. You can be bold when you know you're right. See, my brothers and sisters, the apostles were bold in their preaching. They were bold against the commandments of man. They were bold against the high authority of the council and the Sanhedrin, because they knew that what they talked about, what they preached about, was right. See, my brothers and sisters, boldness has nothing to do with your personality. Boldness is not just for the outgoing, but I've seen introverts be bold for Jesus. Boldness is not tied to your personality, but boldness has to do with your confidence in what you're talking about. The more confident we get in the reality of our faith, the more bold that boldness you'll have when you speak about it. Boldness is not tied to your personality, but boldness is tied to your assurance. So the apostles were growing bolder and bolder because there were some things that they knew for sure. They knew that Jesus had rose from the dead. They knew that this movement was of the Holy Spirit. They knew that they would have been chosen for a work to spread throughout the entire world. And they knew that repentance would bring salvation, not only to Israel, but to everyone who believes. The apostles were bold despite the opposition because they knew what they believed in was true. But there's another reason why the apostles were bold. And it's because they found their boldness through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't read the Holy Spirit within this text, but he is the power behind the text. For Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, he says, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you're to speak or what you're to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who is speaking through you." The Holy Spirit is the power behind apostles' boldness. See, the Bible says before Peter preached his first sermon, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Before Peter preached before the council, the same council that killed Jesus, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Stephen, before he was martyred, the Bible says was full of the Holy Spirit. I believe the author of Acts, I believe God wants us to make sure that we know that the Holy Spirit is the power behind our boldness. The Holy Spirit is the power behind the spread of Christianity. The Spirit is the power behind this unstoppable movement. In fact, our Bible says that this book is called the Acts of the Apostles. But we can also call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it was the Holy Spirit that was working through the apostles to cause Christianity to spread throughout the world. It's the Spirit that gives us a boldness. And the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were bold because they obeyed their Lord. They were bold because they knew what they were saying was true. And they were bold because they had the filling of the Holy Spirit whenever they spoke. But the Bible says that their boldness enraged the Sanhedrin council, so much so that they wanted to kill the apostles. But it's amazing, my brothers and sisters, that God can work even through his enemies. Verse 34 and 35 of our text says, "But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, 'Men of Israel, take care what you're about to do with these men.'" You see, Gamaliel, he gave some advice. In essence, he was saying, "Don't mess with these men. Don't mess with the apostles. But let's see whether this movement will pass the test of time." For in verse 38, Gamaliel says, "Keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." You see, in the Old Testament, the test if a prophet was actually from God would be to see if his prophecies would come true. So Gamaliel, he wanted to put Christianity to the test. Gamaliel wanted to put this movement, this spreading of Jesus' name, to the same requirement. So did Christianity pass the test? Well, we already see where the Old Testament prophesies that there would be one who would come who would be wounded for our transgressions, and that he would be bruised for our iniquity. And Jesus was that one who bore the sins of the world when he hung upon that cross. The Old Testament prophesied in the book of Joel that the Holy Spirit would be poured upon all men and women. It would be poured upon the old men and the young men, and the men and women will see visions, and his Spirit would be poured upon even the male servants and the female servants. Well, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and indwelled in all of the believers, and the Bible says they were filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues. Jesus prophesied that the gospel would be preached all the way to the ends of the earth. And 2,000 years later, 7,000 miles away from Jerusalem, you can find a church on every corner, a church that continued to preach his name. Gamaliel put Christianity to the test. Gamaliel tried to see if this movement would pass the measurement. And I believe Gamaliel was still an enemy to Christianity. For he was on the council, the same council that put Jesus to death. Gamaliel raised up a pupil by the name of Saul, who would later persecute the church in the rest of the book of Acts. But God can take an enemy and make him work out for his purposes. As we read this morning, all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. See, Gamaliel said, "Let these men alone. If this movement is of God, then you will not be able to overthrow it." See, the saying goes, you cannot box with God because your arms are too short. You can't stop the movement because even God will make his enemies to support it. You can't stop his church because even the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. You can't stop the gospel because when you try to oppose them, the apostles get stronger. You can't kill Christianity because even its founder has raised from the dead. Friedrich Nietzsche said that God is dead. But 100 years later, Nietzsche is dead, but his gospel, the name of Jesus, is still spreading. Gamaliel said, if you try to oppose them, if it's of God, you'll be opposing God himself. Did Christianity pass the test? Did it pass the test of time? Well, I think we're the answer of that question. Every soul that has come to faith in Jesus has answered that same question. Every movement that's of God, whether in England or in Germany or in the early American Revolution, has answered that question. Every time we go out and witness and a new person comes to faith, it answered Gamaliel's question. Did Christianity pass the test? Well, God answers the question with every soul that he brings to him. My brothers and sisters, don't fret about the opposition, because the opposition is not even about you. Be bold in the midst of adversity, because your boldness doesn't come from your personality, but it comes from your assurance. And we can have faith even in the midst of God's enemies, because we're part of a movement that's unstoppable. If God is for us, then who can be against us? We're part of an unstoppable army where the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we can be bold whenever we share our faith. We can be bold to live out the name. We can be bold to live lives of integrity. We can be bold and say, this is what we stand for. Even in the midst of opposition, our boldness comes from our faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you how you've given us example time and time again through your word. How even when we face opposition, even when we go through hard times, when we're tempted to put it on our own personality, when we're tempted to blame it on something that we're doing, you remind us and you comfort us that this is just par for the course. Thank you, God, for entrusting us with your name. Thank you, God, for calling us to yourself. Thank you, God, for the privilege of claiming your son, to saying that we are a Christian and saying, I stand with him. Now give us boldness in the midst of opposition. Give us boldness when we speak to someone who doesn't know that name. Give us boldness to represent him in our jobs, in our community, with our associates, with our family. Let us be filled with your Holy Spirit, God, whenever we open our mouth, that they see that this is not about us, but this faith, this movement is of you. And also, God, give us the encouragement to remember that we are part of an unstoppable movement. We are part of a growth. We are part of a kingdom that you said will never fail. So bless us, God, with assurance this morning. Bless us, God, with the faith and the boldness that we need. And most of all, fill us with your Holy Spirit so we can represent you right and we can proclaim your name to all who need to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.